everyone. This is Luc Jean-Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thanks for joining us today. We have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is Rachel Todd. Her story starts when she attended a top undergraduate business school and worked for 4 years as an overworked management consultant on Wall Street. She worked so hard, she ended up contracting an autoimmune disorder, and she realized that work-life balance was really, really important. So she transitioned to working in the HR department and helping the employees in her firm improve their work-life balance. But after a while, she decided to leave the rat race and go from being an employee to self-employed. And she is now a full-time coach who's obtained several certifications, and she works with working professionals to help them to overcome burnout and stress. And so she's been featured on U.S. News, World and Report, and Yahoo News. She has helped many people. She's also a yoga instructor, and she has extensively studied Eastern philosophy, meditation, and mindfulness for the past 8 years. So she's currently based in Ecuador, so I'm so jealous. And we are so lucky to have her sit down and have a chat with us. She's very busy, so we're so happy that she's been able to carve out some time in her packed schedule to sit down and talk with us. We met actually through networking, and we sort of hit it off, and she agreed to come on as a guest. So we are so, so blessed. So, Rachel, thank you so much for coming on. You know, I guess first, I guess we would love to know more about your background and how you first gravitated toward what you do today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm super excited to be here. So thank you so much for having me. So as you mentioned, I started off my career in consulting in the financial services industry. So my clients were like the Wall Street banks. And I was kind of like living like the typical New York lifestyle. You know, like I wake up super early and go to the gym, be in the office for 10, 12, sometimes 14 hours, and then usually go out after work, like with friends, like networking event, happy hour, whatever, and then like get 4 or 5 hours of sleep and do it all over again. Yeah. And I was just kind of in this constant state of like stress and anxiety. And I didn't even know because it just had become my norm, but also the norm of everyone around me. Like everyone was just constantly so busy doing so many things, never slowing down. And I kept getting so many signs from my body that I needed to take a break and to rest. And I just kept blowing past all of those. And then eventually my body was like, I had enough. I'm going to force you to stop. And I got super sick for about 3 years. It was just a huge wake-up call for me that, like, my lifestyle was not working for me and that it was not sustainable. And so it was, like, one of the most difficult periods of my life, but it ended up being a blessing in disguise in so many ways, and it gave me so many gifts. And one of them was that I was forced to listen to my body. And so, like, if my body needed to have, like, a certain amount of sleep, like, if I needed to take a break, like, I had to listen to it. And if I didn't, I would crash and I would be out for, like, days. And so I kind of carried that with me as I started to get healthier and stronger and, like, integrate back into my day-to-day life. And it was really interesting. Like, I started to realize, like, when I was getting a full night's sleep and making time every day to, like, work out and meditate and connect with people and do all the things that I love and like build me up and recharge me. I actually was showing up better at work and getting more done in less time. Yeah. Yeah. And it like makes sense. Like when you're like walking around like a zombie on like no sleep and caffeine and like you haven't recharged or done any of the things you love to do, like you're not working at your best, you know? And so when you take care of yourself, like you actually show up better. So that really inspired me. I wanted to like share that message with people, and that coupled with when I was kind of going through my illness, I was really transparent with people about like what I was struggling with. And I think because I was sharing so many personal things, people started opening up to me about what they were going through. And so many people were telling me, they're like, I have panic attacks like on the regular. And like, I've been going to therapy for years because my anxiety's off the charts and I have fertility and thyroid and like stress rashes and like all these different like physical and mental health issues. And it was also like this big realization for me, like so many people are struggling with this. And I think a lot of us, like we put up this facade, like myself included, being like, oh, I'm so busy. Like I love my life. I'm so important. And like I'm achieving all these things. But like on the inside, we're like slowly crashing and burning. And I think we're just afraid to say that out loud because we all think everyone else is doing great. And we're the only ones that are struggling. And so, yeah, I wanted to create this coaching practice, one, to raise awareness that this is a big issue that so many people are struggling with. And then two, that like the way we're operating doesn't work. Like sacrificing your health and happiness doesn't work. It doesn't make you feel good. And there's a better way and you can still achieve all of your goals. So yeah, so I'm super inspired to help people now and I'm so passionate about the space. So that's my story in a nutshell.
Wow, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, that's an incredible story. And you can just feel the passion in your voice, you know, and it's amazing. I'm excited just listening to you talk about, you know, what you're excited about. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Joe Rogan talks about how everyone has to be the hero of their own movie. It seems like you're the heroine of your own movie. You know, you obviously have this, you know, the protagonist, you have this issue and you're helping, you know, solving it or overcoming it. It's interesting how you talked about how so many people are going through this issue. Someone once told me that in Europe, where they sort of have the opposite problem where there's lots of vacation and stuff like that, there they work to live. But in the United States, people live to work, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think that mentality is really taxing on people's health. You know, so many people are sleep deprived. And, you know, it's interesting. Studies show that when people do have time off, their batteries are recharged and they are more productive. And you saw that, obviously, in your personal life. And I think that bears out in the studies that people have seen. So I do believe it's a huge problem. And obviously you're here to help to solve that issue, which is great. And it's interesting how you talked about how you got sick was a blessing in disguise. It was sort of like a huge wake-up call. We all get these kind of signs or wake-up calls, so to speak. And some people ignore it, but you saw it for what it was. You know, it was the universe telling you, hey, you got to slow down. And I think people really have to, you know, be mindful and watch out for these signs and also follow their intuition and follow their gut, which you're the perfect example of. So it's an incredible story. And I'm sure that because of what you're doing now, the changes you've made, you're a lot healthier. You're no longer getting, you know, stress rashes, you know, thank God, I'm sure. And so yeah, that is amazing. Just incredible. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm curious, why do you think stress and burnout are problems for people today, you think?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit on it. I think a lot of it is like our culture, like in our society, especially in places like the U.S. And I think in some ways, like our country is so amazing. Like there's like such incredible innovation that comes out of here. And like the technology that like most people have access to and like the comforts that we have, like it's so incredible. And I think we definitely have our flaws. And I think those have been coming out more and more over the last few years. And like not everyone has a fair and equal opportunity to advance. But I think more or less to some degree, like if you work really hard in the U.S., like you do have an opportunity to advance more so than other places. And I think that's all of that is absolutely incredible. But I think the issue is that like we just take it way too far. We've gone too far on like on the spectrum and we don't really call people out on it, you know, and it's really interesting. Like if I was spending 12, 14 hours a day playing video games or shopping or gambling and my health was depleting, I was like missing out on sleep, I was missing important family events, social obligations with friends, like people would call me out on that. They're like, you have a problem. Like, why can't you like leave your video game? Or like, why can't you just like not buy those pairs of shoes or like whatever it is. But if you're doing that with work, like not only does no one ever call you out on it, they actually praise you for doing it. They're like, oh, you only got 3 hours of sleep last night to finish this, whatever, like snaps for you. And so I think it's a real issue. And again, like wanting to like challenge yourself, like wanting to like reach a certain level of achievement, wanting to have goals, wanting to provide for your family and your loved ones, like those are all amazing things. And like, we shouldn't not do those, but not to the point where we're sacrificing our health and our happiness and all the important things in our life. And to be a well-rounded, like happy, healthy person, like you can't just work all the time. And I don't think a lot of us recognize that.
Wow. That's amazing. That is so true. I agree completely. You know, there's a saying, you know, when you go on an airplane, they tell you that before you can help others, if in an emergency, you have to put on your own mask first. You know what I mean? And that's so true. In order to take care of others, you have to take care of yourself first, you know, put on that mask, that gas mask first. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. I guess a lot of people view it as selfish if they take care of their own needs. But you can only take care of other people at the maximum when you take care of yourself first. I totally believe that to be true. And, you know, it's interesting. There was a book written by Arianna Huffington called The 8-Hour Solution. It talked about sleep and the importance of having a good amount of sleep. She was a woman, as you know, she had a lot going on. You know, she's a very ambitious, successful woman. And she one time had an incident where she just fell and hit her head, like when she was sitting down because she was so tired. And she realized that no matter how busy she was, she had to get 8 hours of sleep. She had to block that out. And the book was so amazing. So I think there may be a turning point where people are beginning to realize, because of people like yourself doing the work that you're doing, that, and others, that, obviously something has to change. You know, all these accidents that happen because of sleep deprivation and whatnot. You know, productivity, I think, again, would go up. GDP would go up if people had more time to themselves and a better work-life balance. I'm curious, why is mindset work so important for people to do? Like, as a coach, I know you specialize in the mind, you know, changing people's mindsets. Why do you think that's so key and critical?
Yeah, well, I think, like, everything starts at, like, the mindset. And I think when you want to make a change, and if you want it to be a really lasting, transformative change, like, you have to tackle it from the mindset perspective. So I think, like, a really easy example that a lot of people have dabbled in is, like, weight loss, weight management. And there's, like, 10,000 different, like, diet, exercise, like, all these different programs out there. And there's definitely benefits and nuances to each one, and everyone kind of has their individual struggles that they deal with. But, like, when you boil it down, like, more or less what you have to do is, like, eat less, move more. That's kind of, like, the simplest way of looking at it. And so most people know what to do to make a change. They just don't do it. And there's usually some underlying reason for that. And it's, like, a deep mindset issue. And so for some people, maybe they use food as, like, a coping mechanism. Like, they can't deal with stress or difficult emotions, and so they use food to cope. Or maybe they use exercise as, like, a punishment, or there's, like, all these different things. And so if, like, you're not addressing that, like, you could do all the diet weight loss programs in the world, and, like, you're not going to make a lasting change. And it's the same with, like, stress and burnout. I think there's a lot of different stress management techniques out there, and they're amazing. I still use them. But they tend to be Band-Aid solutions if you're not getting to the underlying cause. And so if the reason why you're working so hard is because you're a perfectionist and you have these impossible standards and you don't stop until you try to reach this impossible standard, like, that's what's causing you stress and that's what's burning you out. And so you could do all the breathing techniques and bubble baths in the world, but if you don't address that, then you're not going to make a lasting change. And so, yeah, that's why I think mindset work is so important.
Oh, I see. So it's interesting. So you have to sort of be a doctor and find the key diagnosis and not be distracted by the, you know, dealing with the symptoms. You want to get to the root cause of why this is happening. You know, maybe a person has a certain type of mindset that is leading to this, you know, lifestyle. And it's interesting how so many people know what they have to do, but they don't want to, you know, they may look for a shortcut or a simple solution, like, you know, drinking coffee. You know, so many people are addicted to caffeine now, and that's not great. So I'm curious, now, when it comes to these mindsets that lead to this sort of lifestyle, what types of mindsets typically leads people to burnout? Like, how is it that people are thinking that leads to this?
Yeah, so what I kind of mentioned was, like, perfectionism, that people have this, like, impossibly high standard and, push themselves way too much to reach that. Another is that people have a hard time of, like, letting go of control, and they kind of have this mentality, like, if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. And so they don't trust other people to do stuff, and so they're taking on way too much work and have a really difficult time delegating. So sometimes people are just like really competitive and they're like, I have to win. Like they have this underlying mindset that like, I have to win, like my self-worth is tied to winning, and they'll push themselves so hard at something they don't even really want or like, but just because they need to win. And that's what causes them to work so hard. Some people have a really hard time setting boundaries and saying no. And so they're taking on way too much because they just feel too bad. Like, yeah, pushing back against people. So those are, there's a few of them, but those are some of the main ones.
Interesting. I see that a lot because obviously it's hard to also say no to the boss. You know, if the boss wants you to say, well, you know, you could say no to him, but do you really want to say no to him? That could hurt your, you know, your image in front, you know, with the boss, and he may not promote you. You know, people who do the go above and beyond get the promotion. So it's sort of, you know, you don't really have a, you know, people may think they don't really have a choice if they want to advance in their careers. And so it's really tough. You know, the thing about, you know, obviously we've all met people with type A personalities. So I think their issue may be perfectionism and also maybe control and maybe competition as well. I think in addition to changing mindsets, we may also have to change the structure of society as well. When it comes to the workplace or laws or whatnot, that may help. Mm-hmm. But mindset, I think, is so important. You know, setting boundaries, I think, is very, very key for people to be assertive and sort of stand up for themselves. I'm curious, when it comes to coaching, obviously, you know, people pay for your services, you help them out. And I think coaching is so critical. And so important. I think everyone needs a coach. What would you say to someone who feels that they don't think a coach is necessary and sort of rolls their eyes at this profession, thinks it's filled with charlatans and quacks and, you know, this is something you can just read in a book. Why do you need to hire someone?
No, I was going to say, I just think that's a great question. I actually wanted to address like a point that you made a little bit earlier about how people have a hard time setting boundaries like to their boss, and like they're afraid that it's going to affect like their promotion. And I think that's a really good point. And I think a lot of people do struggle with that. And I think to your point, it would be helpful if like the overall like structure changed. But I think a lot of times like when you implement boundaries, like people respect them and kind of like this mentality, like if I'm implementing a boundary to show up better at work, and especially when people start to see that, I think they really do start to respect it. And I think you kind of train people like how to treat you. So if you're always like answering emails like of all hours of the night, people think you're available and it's okay. But if you kind of set a boundary, you don't even have to say it. Like you just like, I'm going to stop answering emails after 6 p.m. And people will start to realize, even without you saying it, that like this person's unavailable. And most things are not like life or death. Maybe there's a few exceptions where you could answer an email like after hours, but yeah, and it's okay for it to wait the next day. And so I think we're kind of setting this precedent that doesn't really need to be set. And when we set the boundaries, like I do think even bosses tend to respect it. So I just wanted to address that. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Interesting. So when they respect you more because of those boundaries, I can totally see that. Obviously, they may consider you perhaps for other opportunities as well, maybe for leadership positions because you're showing strength, showing, you know, character and whatnot. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of times people, they engage in what's called multitasking, but studies have shown that when, you know, we can't really multitask and focus on different things at the same time. It's more effective and productive to single task, just do one thing at a time. So I think it's great for people to sort of focus on, you know, one thing and then block out everything else. So like, for example, the emails, you know, or calls, you know, say, hey, I'm not doing this, I'm doing this or that. And I think single tasking is, I think, something that people really need to look into. I think it helps people a lot. And so it doesn't, you know, it's not overwhelming them and stressing them out when they do multiple tasks. So, yeah, thank you so much for that. And, you know, I do believe that if you're assertive, it actually does make people respect you more. And, you know, if you're not assertive, people tend to walk all over you. And, you know, give you all the work and stuff like that. And so I'm curious. Now, obviously, we have the cynics and the skeptics when it comes to coaching, when it, you know, when they when they speak of coaching and whatnot, they don't really get the point of it. They think you can just do this on your own. You know, why do you have to hire a coach? I think coaching is important because of the accountability factor. You know, reading a book can't hold you accountable. You know, a human being can hold you accountable. And, you know, studies show that accountability really helps people to really accomplish their goals when they have someone to sort of kind of talk to and report to. I mean, what would you say, though, to someone who's a skeptic and a cynic about the coaching industry as a whole?
Yeah, I think that's a super important question. I kind of have two parts to that. The first is that, like, to some degree, I understand. And, like, sometimes if I'm being really honest, like, I feel embarrassed to say I'm a life coach because I think there is such a stigma around being a coach. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, it's become, like, bigger over the last few years. And with social media, it's, like, way more accessible. And I do think there are people that, like, they're just kind of doing it because it's trendy. And they don't totally know what they're doing, or some people are corrupt and just kind of want to make a quick buck and don't really care about helping people. And, you know, sometimes I have to catch myself, and if other people are open to hearing it, I'll kind of tell them. But I think that's true in every industry. Like, there's doctors and lawyers and accountants, and, like, there's some of them who are just doing it just to do it, or that are corrupt and just want to make money. But I think in most industries, including coaching, most people are really good and, like, are genuinely really passionate about this topic and want to help people. I think it's just reminding yourself of that. And yeah, I think it's really sad when people are like, oh, I don't need it. Or like, oh, I can like read a book. And I think coaching to me, I'm biased because I am a coach and I've done so much inner work, but it's just been, it's been so valuable to me. Like, it's literally changed my life. And so it kind of, like you said, the past 8 years, I've had this really intense inner work spiritual journey. And I probably spent over the past 8 years, like probably like $15,000 to $20,000 on different, working with different coaches, healers, going to different programs and retreats. And the investment like always comes back in dividends because I just understand myself on such a deep, deep level. And being able to understand myself also allows me to understand other people and just the world as a whole. And, like, again, kind of going back to this mindset stuff, like, most of the things that are holding you back in your life from being who you were really meant to be and doing what you're really meant to do are, like, these underlying beliefs and mindsets. And so transforming those, like, has been, like, literally life-changing for me. It's allowed me to achieve all the things that I want to achieve. And I think books and all those different things are super helpful, and I still read a lot of things, and I think it's great. But even after doing 8 years of this, like, I myself still work with a coach. I think accountability, like you said, is a great piece of it. But I think, too, like, it's just so hard to see your own blind spots, you know? And, like, you're working with someone else who's, like, already been on that path before you. Like, they can see things that you can't. They can offer perspective that you can't. Like, if you were able to figure it out on your own, like, you would, you know? So I think it's so helpful to have someone to talk things out with and help you work through the changes that you want to make.
Wow. That's incredible, and it's interesting how you said how a coach can view things from sort of like from an outsider perspective that you might not see yourself. And a coach may, you know, you might get a coach who's at a level that you know that the client wants to reach or obtain, which really helps.
Right.
You know, a coach could sort of be a mentor at the same time. And, you know, Tony Robbins says success leaves clues. So when you work with someone who's achieved the kind of goals you want to achieve, they can definitely help you out to get on track, to stay on track as well. And it's interesting. I also, too, think that the money spent on coaching is money well spent. You know, so many people hire financial advisors, personal trainers, dietitians, nutritionists. You would think that, you know, when it comes to focusing on your life and your goals, that'd be just as important. You know?
Right.
And I'm curious. Now, obviously, when it comes to coaching, there's a low barrier to entry. You have many certifications, but it's not necessary to have certifications. You know, financial advisor has, you know, there's a high barrier to entry. You have to pass all these tests and all, and license, whatever, whatnot. But, you know, with the low barrier to entry, that may be what's attracting all the maybe bad actors and charlatans and quacks, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously people have to sort of do their research. And you said before that oftentimes you feel, well, not oftentimes, but here and there you may feel a little embarrassed when you say you're a coach. I think that they call that maybe imposter syndrome, which is normal and natural.
Mm-hmm. That could be it. That's true. Yeah.
Which is, everyone goes, not everyone, but a lot of people go through that. Thank you so much for that. Obviously, mm-hmm. Some people become coaches because it's trendy, but it's one of those things where people say that, that it may be a trend, but I see this sticking for the long haul. So many mm-hmm. things are called a trend, but they stayed put. Like a lot of people thought the internet was a fad, but it wasn't and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a huge need for coaching. So I'm curious, what advice would you give someone who's looking for a coach and they don't want a charlatan quack. They want the real deal. Now, obviously they can go to you, which mm-hmm. I would highly recommend. But let's say if you're not available, what advice would you give to someone who wants to hire a coach for themselves?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, I think there's like a big misunderstanding around like what a coach does by some people. Like
yeah.
I've worked with some prospective clients, and like they're like, oh, you're just going to tell me what to do. And like, that's not actually what a coach is. So I think making sure you understand how it works. And every coach is slightly different, but like how it works for me and how I view it is that it's really a partnership. So like I mentioned before, like what I do is I ask like really deep, like thought-provoking questions to kind of get people to think about things, and I'll kind of point out observations and patterns that I see and help people see their blind spots. And then once we kind of get to the underlying mindset, we work together. And I'm like, here's the different tools and theories and things available, techniques, like which one do you think works best for you? And we kind of work together to decide that and figure out their goals. So it's very much a partnership. So it's not like you just go to someone and they're like, I have the answers to all your problems. Like you work together to kind of figure things out. So I think that's really important to recognize. And I'm also just a big component in listening to your intuition and seeing like what resonates with you. And I think to your point, there is a really low barrier to entry in coaching. But someone could also have like a bunch of amazing certifications and still not be a good coach. And someone could just have a lot of really great life experience and be a good coach. So it's really hard to determine just purely based off of certification. So I think it's really just listening to your gut and just seeing, like who this person is, like do you resonate with their message, do you resonate with their personality and the tools that they use. That would be my recommendation. And I would also say, don't let fear holds you back. I think a lot of times when people want to make a change, like they tend to make excuses or lie to themselves and get caught up in like an underlying fear. Especially working with a coach, it like involves like confronting a lot of difficult things sometimes. And so, if you let fear hold you back in working with someone, I think it's really just a disservice to you and honestly to the world, because I think when you're not living your full potential, like everyone is impacted by that. And when you're your fullest self, like you just show up so much better for the people in your life, and you can perform at the highest capacity.
Wow, thank you so much for that. It's interesting how you talked about fear and how people tend to stay in their comfort zones and don't go out and live the life they want to live. There was a book written about older people who were dying in a hospice, and they surveyed them to find out, what was their deepest regrets or whatnot. And they found that a lot of them said that one of their biggest regrets was they didn't live the life that they wanted to live. They lived the life that other people wanted them to live. And, we don't want people to die, this generation or anyone else to thinking that way. It's really sad. And one of the other regrets they had was that they spent too much time in the office and not, time living their life and doing other things. And they spent too much time at work, not with family and whatnot. So it goes back to what you were talking about before about burnout and how people are working so much and how often that, on their deathbed, they regret that they did that. So it's a wake-up call, I think, and I recommend everyone read that book, so they can learn from people, learn from others who made, learn from their mistakes, whatnot. Now, it's curious, you talked about intuition. They say the most successful people follow their intuition, follow their gut. It's so important, that sixth sense. And I would imagine that if you're looking for a life coach, someone that you're going to be paying money maybe a lot of money too, and you're going to be working with intimately, and they're going to know your life inside and out. That, you know, you obviously want to do your research, and it's like an audition. You probably want to shop around and whatnot to avoid getting any charlatans and whatnot. And it's interesting how you mentioned how even people with certifications may not be the best or legit, and people without certifications may be really, really great, based, you know, because they're a good coach because of their life experiences. So thank you so much for that. I think that's an important piece of advice for people who are looking for coaches. It's not just about certifications. And it's interesting how coaches are partners. You know, you collaborate with them, maybe compromise with them. It's not like they tell you what to do. So I think that's great that you sort of clarified that. That's amazing. I'm curious, what advice would you give someone who wants to be a coach themselves, who's listening and says, I want to do what Rachel's doing? Like, what would you say to that person?
Yeah, I think like the most important thing and like the biggest first step is to do your own inner work first. And I think, like I said, I've done so much inner work over the past 8 years. It's literally been my obsession. And I think that's what makes me such a good coach, is because I really understand myself on such a deep level. And I think when you can understand yourself, like, it's so much easier to see that in other people. And when you've kind of gone through it and you really intimately understand all the different tools and techniques and methodologies, it's so much easier to give that to someone else. I actually think that's like, it's so valuable. Even though I've gotten a lot of different certifications and trainings, I think my own experience of doing my own inner work has been the most powerful thing for me. And I think that's my biggest strength as a coach. And I think when you do that, you start to realize like what you're passionate about. And I think when you heal something in yourself and then you become passionate about that topic, it's so much easier for you to help others with that. And I think there's so many different challenges that people are struggling with. And we need coaches in all of those spaces. And so I think, I would say doing inner work is the most important thing. It helps you learn more about yourself, learn and understand the tools, and learn an area where you can really be of use to people in the world.
Wow, that's amazing. So they should do some inner work. When you say inner work, that means that they should just do introspection and dive into who they are, so to speak.
I think there's a lot of ways to go about it. I think it's just kind of like what resonates with you. So I'm a pretty spiritual person, and I've kind of taken like different classes in Eastern philosophy and yoga and mindfulness, and so that tends to be like how it shows up for me, and just like better understanding myself and understanding my underlying beliefs and mindsets, and even going even deeper and healing like wounds and things like that. So something along those lines, in whatever way resonates with you. There's a million different tools out there.
Okay. Now, I'm a big believer in meditation as well. And so it's something I try to do every day. And I think yoga is so great. So many people have done yoga and have benefited greatly from it. So I'm curious, have you – now, obviously, society has, its social ills like sexism, discrimination, racism, whatnot. And some might view coaching as a male-dominated industry. Have you experienced any, like, sexism or discrimination on your journey at all, or –
Yeah, I think that's a really important question, actually. And I feel like I haven't experienced it as much recently. I feel like I experienced it the most when I was like working initially in consulting. And like my clients were like the Wall Street Bank. So both are like very male-dominated industries. But it was really subtle forms of like sexism and like discrimination. And I don't even think that people that were doing it realized that they were doing it. But it's kind of those small things like add up, and I think that's how like women end up getting like held back. And so like I would work on a team that was like mostly men, and like we'd go out after work together, and like they'd always talk about like a basketball game or like their girlfriends or like going to the bar and like hitting on girls or like whatever it was. And it was never something I could relate to. And so it was really difficult for me to build like a personal relationship with them. Like we had a really great professional relationship. Like if I needed help with something, like they would help me. If I did well on something, they would praise me. Like I never had an issue in that space, but I think that's where women end up getting held back, because especially, because you're like Mr. Networker, like your relationships are so important. And I think that's what really advances you in your career. Like I think to some degree, you only need like a certain level of like intelligence and like skill set. And then beyond that, it's
Right.
who you know that's going to like help pull you up and bring you into different opportunities. And so, yeah, it's been subtle. And it didn't end up affecting my overall career because I ended up leaving that anyway for different reasons. But yeah, I think it's important to ask
Okay.
that question. So I'm glad that you did.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, I'm curious, when it comes to, obviously, you've given us a lot of nuggets and gems. I'm curious, what other important life lessons have you learned yourself or learned from others that you'd love to share with us?
Yeah, so I think we've kind of touched on it a few times, but it's been like such an
Right.
important life lesson for me. I think it's worth like iterating again, but it's really like following your intuition. And I think we all have like this little voice like inside of us that tells us who we really are and like who we're meant to be and what we're meant to do. And I think sometimes we just get too distracted by life that we can't even hear it. Or sometimes we do hear it and we're just too afraid to listen to it because it's going against the norm or it's leaving your comfort zone. And so, I don't know, I think that voice is never wrong. And I don't remember your exact words, but I think you said something along those lines as well. And it's really interesting. So actually, I left New York like 6, 7 months ago. And when I was like packing up and like leaving things, I found this envelope and it said, do not open until like November 5th, 2022. And I'm like, what is this? Like, I don't even remember what this is. And so I cheated and I opened it early. And it was a letter to myself when I was in college, when I was in 21. I was working at like an office job with like different like older women. They were like secretaries. And one of the women, I don't even know how this came about, but she told me, she's like, you should write a letter to your future self like 10 years from now. And I actually have it with me. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But it was really interesting. In the letter, there was one section I wrote and it said, I believe success can be defined in multiple ways. You can be successful socially, spiritually, in your health, in your career, etc. However, in our society, if you're successful in all these things except your career, you're not successful. And if you're successful in your career and nothing else, you are successful. I think this way is wrong. I think there's so much more to life than just working all the time. Life is meant to be lived and experienced. I hope that's what you're doing. And it was just, like,
wow.
So profound for me to, like, read
wow.
that. I'm like, first of all, like, my 21-year-old self was, like, so wise. But I really think that was, like, my intuition, like, speaking out to me and being, like almost 10 years ago, like, I knew this, like, deep down inside of me. And so, like, imagine if I would have listened to that 10 years ago. And I don't regret where I am now. I think it was so useful going through this journey. But, yeah, I think the longer you wait, like, you're always getting these little signs. And, like, the longer you wait, I think the stronger the signs get and the further off course you are, the less happy you are. And so I think it's so important, even though it's scary, to follow your intuition.
Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing. The letter is incredible. I totally agree with it. I think people need to broaden the definition of what success is. So I think that's so important. And, you know, everyone sort of has their life purpose. You obviously know what yours is, and you're following that purpose, that calling, which is so great. You know, everyone has, Mark Twain once said that everyone has two birthdays, the day they were born and the other day is when they figure out why, you know, they were born. And so I think, you know, it's so important for people to do that introspect and find out what their life purpose is. And if they're not doing it, the longer it takes, the more the signs become obvious, which which you mentioned, which I believe to be true. And there's also talk, if you read a lot about, you know, personal development, like I do, and I'm sure you do as well, about the big why, the why, you know, why, what is your why, what motivates you, I think, which ties into life purpose. And so an intuition is so key, because obviously your gut will tell you, you'll see the signs. And people should follow their intuition. And you hear all these stories about people who leave these corporate jobs with a lot of money to do something else. And, you know, people think they're crazy.
Right.
I once encountered, I think, an accounting firm, one of the big four accounting firms, to be a spiritual coach. And people thought he was nuts. But it's all about following your calling. You know, you do have to have thick skin to... to turn down the volume on all the naysayers, you know, and people think you're crazy, but you have to follow your true calling, so, you know, and whatnot. And I think life coaches like yourself are so key, because you help people in that regard, to motivate people to follow their true calling, you know, based on the inner work that you do as a coach. You can help others to do that same kind of inner work for they can do it for themselves. So I'm curious, obviously I talked about personal development literature, and that's how I learned about the big why. I'm curious, are there any book recommendations you make, any gurus you like, or maybe I shouldn't say gurus, but any luminaries in the personal development realm that you support or follow or are a fan of or whatnot?
Yeah, so I have a few recommendations. The first one is a book called Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. It's similar to Marie Kondo's philosophy, if you know her. She kind of helps people to, like, clean out their closets and, like, the stuff in their house. And, like, her thing is, like, if it doesn't spark joy or if it's not useful, like, get rid of it. And so in this book, like, the author kind of talks about, it's a similar philosophy, but, like, with your schedule and, like, what you're choosing to spend your time and energy on. And so his thing is, to the best of your ability, like, everything in your life should be a 9 out of 10 or higher, and if it's not, like, try to get rid of it. And that was, like, such a game changer for me, especially when I was sick. And so, like, one of my biggest symptoms was I had, like, crazy levels of fatigue. Like, I would sleep 12, 14 hours a day and, like, wake up and still be, like, super exhausted. And so I, like, only had the energy to do, like, 3 things, like, each day, or I only had the energy to hang out with, like, 1 friend, like, each week. And so I had to be super mindful, like, what am I going to choose to spend my time and my energy on? And I started to notice, like, when I do certain work activities or when I hang out with certain people or when I do certain, like, extracurricular things, like, those things give me energy, whereas other things take it away. And I still hold on to those principles and those philosophies. I think it's super important. So I highly recommend that book. I also created a free guide on my website. It's called Stop Hustling, Start Flowing. And it's based off that mentality, and it helps you to manage your energy. So if you don't want to read the whole book, that's also an option.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and then the second thing I would recommend, there are 2 books, actually. It's called The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer and Super Attractor by Gabrielle Bernstein. So I'm a little bit more spiritual, so it may not resonate with everyone, but both of these books helped me realize this concept of law of action versus law of attraction. And so law of action is, like, if you want something, like, you have to go out and, like, do to get it. And law of attraction is, like, I'm just going to be the thing, and just by being it, it's just going to naturally come to me. And I think in reality, you need, like, a balance of both. Like, you can't just, like, sit on your couch all day and be like, it's just going to come to me. Like, you do have to take some action. Yeah, but I think as a society overall, myself included, like, we tend to be too much on the law of action side. And if we want something, we're like, I have to chase after it. I have to, like, kill myself and bend over backwards to get this thing. But really, if you just be the thing that you want to be, and just by being yourself and, like, going to events that you love to go to, hanging out with people that you love to hang out with, like, being your true self, it'll just naturally attract, like, the right opportunities for you. And even kind of with this podcast, like, an us meeting, right, that kind of happened for me. Like, I didn't chase after this. It just came to me because of me presenting myself in the way that I did. So it's just a big revelation for me that we don't have to do as much as we think that we do. And we don't have to constantly chase and, push ourselves so hard.
Definitely. That reminds me of the secret. Law of attraction. and also it reminds me of the saying that God helps those who help themselves. So obviously, you just don't want to sit down on your couch and just think you'll get it. And so you have to have that balance of action and hoping to wait for it, so to speak. So that definitely has to be a balance. I totally agree with that. And by the way, I just want to say that when it comes to podcasting, I think you would make a great podcast host. I'm just going to put that out there.
Oh, thank you.
and it's a great way to network. Podcasting is amazing. I can go on and on and on about it, but I won't do that. So I'm curious, would you ever write a book about yourself, about your life and your journey? I would buy it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's a good question. I'm open to it. Maybe not anytime in, like, the near future, but I'm open to it. If not about me, then maybe about some things that I've learned or some concepts that I've learned But yeah, I love spreading knowledge, and so if that's a good way to do it, I would be really excited to do that.
Wow, that's amazing. Just so you know, when you do write that book, and I believe, and I'm sure you will, I'll be the first person online to buy it. So you
Okay,
have
thank
one
you.
customer, and if
Yeah,
you
I'm
do
a
a
big
podcast,
fan.
you'll have one listener.
Okay.
Yes.
I already have a good
So,
audience.
all right. Yes, you have at least one person to count on. So, again, I wanted to thank you for sharing your incredible, inspiring story. I'm immensely grateful that you decided to come on and chat with us, and think that being a guest on the show was a worthwhile endeavor. Thank you so much for that, Rachel. And I'm curious now, can you describe all the ways that people can connect with you, reach out to you if they want to utilize, or if they know someone who wants to utilize your services, or if they just want to put an incredible individual and center of influence like yourself in their network? Like, where can people go to connect with you?
Yeah, so I'm not a very big social media person. I haven't jumped on that bandwagon yet, but I probably will in the near future. But for now, actually, the best way to reach me is via email. And I love getting personal emails and I respond to every single one. So if like anything in here resonated with you, or if you just want to chat about something or geek out about personal development, I love talking to people. And so my email, which I think we can also provide in like a written format somewhere, but
Yes.
it's rachel@thereturntoflow.com. You can also learn more about me and my coaching program on my website, thereturntoflow.com. And I have some free resources on there. One of them I mentioned, the Stop Hustling, Start Flowing. And one other thing I want to mention, I would love to give like your viewers a gift. I would love to give 10 people on this call a 1 hour free coaching session, just as like a thank you to having me on here, and just as a thank you to your audience for
Wow.
listening. Yeah, so if anyone's interested, feel free to email me and just mention the Deep Voice Man Show, and I will give you the first 10 people that reach out. I will give you a free coaching session for 1 hour.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much for that. I'm really appreciative of that. I'm
Yeah.
immensely grateful. And this is just representative of your generous and benevolent spirit. So, thank you so much, Rachel. That is incredible. I think that's the first time anyone has ever done that. A guest has done something like that. So thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. I might be one of those people that takes you up on the 1 hour,
Okay,
just so
I
you
would
know.
love to. Yeah.
So again, thank you so much. So yeah, I will also have the information that you just provided. It will be in the episode description box, so people can read it, see it there. So it will be there. Again, I wanted to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for coming on and being a guest on the show. I know you're a very busy woman, so thank you, thank you, thank you. And
Yeah, thank you so much
to
for having me. I think it's incredible what you're doing. So thank you. I feel super grateful to be on here.
Got it. Thank you so much, Rachel. And thank you to the audience for listening to the episode. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So again, I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. And again, thank you, Rachel. I want everyone to have a wonderful day. But oh, I forgot one thing. I wanted to actually give you the last word or the send off. Is there anything you wanted to mention or say real quick?
No, I think we covered it all, actually. Yeah.
All right. No problem. We covered so much. So thank you so much, everyone. And everyone, have a wonderful day. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye. Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app. And if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that'd be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. So we can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that'd be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.